God bless you. Once again, it's an honor and privilege to have each and every one of you worship the Lord with us today. I want to go into a topic. There's a scripture in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 26, and the story goes along the lines that a woman's coming to Jesus for asking for healing. And as I was studying this idea, this question crossed my mind, and I want to share it with you today. And she approached the Lord, and he basically, because she was not from the tribe of Israel, she was not what you would say in covenant, Jesus kind of gave her a pushback. Has anybody ever given you a pushback before? You go in accepting or expecting and looking for a reaction, all of a sudden it's a complete opposite. And Jesus kind of gave her some sense of opposition. In fact, when you first read this, and I don't know if you had this same effect, but I remember years ago when I first read that, you could almost get offended at Jesus. Because he didn't say, come on, we'll just make this work for you. She came and asked for healing. Again, challenge everything I say with the word of God, because that's the key to everything. Challenge everything anybody says with the word of God. And so she approached Jesus and he said, here's the key verse to it. He said, shall I cast the bread of the children to the dogs? Now that's some pushback. That's some intense pushback. I mean, can you imagine you go in prayer and you're asking God for something in prayer and you're doing it right and you're doing it correctly and you fold your hands if you want to say that. You're praying and all of a sudden a voice from heaven is saying, why should I give what belongs to my children to you, the dog? Well, that's just unnecessary. That's hurtful. But she kept pushing in. Say, she kept pushing in. She kept pushing against the opposition, what appeared to be opposition, because what she needed to receive was not the emotion for the need. It wasn't the cry to have the need met. It wasn't the why me? Because some of us pray that way, don't we? Oh, Jesus, why me? Mercy, oh God. And she was facing opposition, but she used the opposition as a point to demonstrate something greater than the emotion, to demonstrate her determination in the level of her faith. Because when you are operating by faith, you will and see in faith a determination. Stay with me. And she began to push through, and she said, yes, Lord. And I love her answer. She didn't say, yes, you jerk. She said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And right there's so much truth in there, because one, she's saying, you're still Lord. I recognize you. Number two, healing is still available. Number three, healing's not a limited form to the children, because the children have so much, they don't care about the scraps that fall. Right? I mean, if things are really tight, you count every crumb. Now, you got three crumbs, you got two crumbs, don't you all? But when things are in plenty, when things are in abundance, you can drop a whole hamburger on the floor, and you're like, I don't want to get it. I'll let the dog eat it. Come on. Your willingness to pick something up is based on the value of if you have a lot of it. And she's saying, even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall. What is she saying? I know that you're God, you're Lord. Healing is within your ability. I know it's for the children, but I know if I'm close enough to the children that they're a surplus and I'm going to receive it. I can get some from it. And he said, woman, your faith is great. Now, what I want to draw attention to is something many times we can miss, because in this text, in this time frame, this is what you would call under the old covenant. I know it's in the New Testament, which is the new covenant. But Jesus lived, when he was on the earth and did ministry, he did ministry under the Old Testament, old covenant guidelines. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. So how do I know? Well, because of that verse I just quoted, but also a covenant, which you could say contract or an agreement, but a covenant's even better. A blood covenant cannot be created without the shedding of blood. And so the new covenant, which we live under, amen, I'm throwing a lot at you, but I'm going to need you to respond. Amen. Amen. Aim it a little louder. Amen. Oh, now you guys are sounding like, now you're back. Okay. The new covenant, the New Testament, the new covenant was cut by Jesus at the cross of Calvary. So at this time of him living on the earth and operating in ministry, he wasn't operating under the new covenant because he had yet to go to the cross. So he was living under the old covenant. So he was fulfilling the old covenant. He was operating under the Deuteronomy 28, 29, the obedience and the results of the obedience under the old covenant. Are you with me? So here's my question, and then we're going to get into today. If healing is bread for the children in the old covenant, what is the bread for the children in the new covenant? Because Hebrews tells us that the new covenant is on better promises and better benefits. And we can quote Matthew 15, 26, and it's true. Healing belongs to you. But if that's the benefit, because the old, the new doesn't eliminate the old, it's building on it. It made it better. And if the old covenant said that healing was bread for the children, what's in the new covenant? And that's where we'll begin. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity right now to be in your presence, to look at your word, to study your word, and receive from heaven today. I pray the words spoken today not be my words, but your words. And I ask for an anointing of revelation and truth and understanding to rest upon the house of everyone who's listening right now. Open our eyes, our ears, and our understanding so that we can receive from heaven today. So we can receive from heaven today. Let the words I speak, let my mouth be like a pen of a ready writer, according to Paul's prayer, saying what you once said. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. Help us to receive what you want us to receive. And Father, help us to demonstrate what you want us to demonstrate. We give you all the praise, Lord Jesus, and all the glory. We honor you today. And everybody said, amen and amen. Let me read out of the Gospel of Matthew in this. It's five verses, so we're not going to put it on the screen, but I just want you to sit and listen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 1 says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothes was white as snow, and the guards shook with fear, and they saw him, and they fell into the dead faint. This is New Living Translation. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen. Say, he is risen. Notice, he is risen from the dead, just as he said it. I love that. He is not only risen, he's not only resurrected, he is risen as he said before he got there. Before Jesus was there, Jesus had already declared, he'd spoken it, because he spoke the word from the Father. He said, the words that I speak are not mine. The things I do are not my works, it's the Father. He is the word, John 1:1, verse 14. He spoke it. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. Remember, say remember. Now this is a story that we typically read at Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And you might be in your mind saying, Pastor, I know we've all been shut in, but you might have messed up on your clock. It's not Easter Sunday. That was last week. But what I want to draw attention to is Easter, or really a better word, Resurrection Sunday, is not just an event once a year. It's the celebration of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is the gospel that is not just something we celebrate on a calendar. It's the gospel that is available to us every day. That's what Mary and Martha were having to figure out, because Jesus told Martha before he got to her brother Lazarus' tomb, he said, listen, if you believe this, your brother is going to be resurrected. And she responded quickly and said, yes, Lord, I know he'll be resurrected on the last day. And Jesus basically put her on a pause, Greg Bruce translation, challenge it on your own time. And Jesus put her on pause, say, wait a minute, what you don't understand, you're looking to a calendar, you're looking to an event, but you could be looking at me. I am the resurrection and the life. Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, as it should be declared. Resurrection Sunday is not just an event we celebrate once a year. It is something we have available within us every day of the year, because Jesus is resurrection life. Oh, no, 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 come on. Don't give me a half clap. We're not going to half clap. We'll keep moving on. So Jesus is resurrection. That's what the gospel's about. That's what the gospel's about. The gospel is about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Stay with me. My friend, this Bible is an amazing living book, and it has a lot of good principles in it. You can study this Bible and learn how to manage your money more effectively. You can study Proverbs and James and find out wisdom for daily situations in life. You can study this Bible, learn how to manage your time, help your marriage, be a better parent. You can do that. You can see the goal planning, all of this, how to solve problems, how to deal with people, how not to allow yourself to be offended by other people's problems. You can learn so much from this Bible. But if we don't keep coming back to the foundational truth, that this Bible is all really all about Jesus. And when you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about the Son of God who came to this earth. John 3:16, for God so loved, I know I'm going to talk to somebody today. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son. It looks like I'm talking to the choir, but I know I'm talking to somebody. We get so caught up in the other stuff that we can miss out on the main stuff. That whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's about the death. Jesus, who was the Son of God, came to this earth in the flesh, born through a virgin birth, through Mary. And he lived a sinless life in complete alignment, agreement with the will of the Father, who took upon himself the sin of humanity. That means you and you and me, and put it upon himself. He who knew no sin, the Bible says, became sin. Why? So he could pay the price on the cross of Calvary. And it didn't stop there, because the Bible says after they took him off the cross, they put him in a borrowed tomb, because when you already told people you're coming back, there's no reason to make a deposit. And so all of a sudden, they put him in a borrowed tomb. And the Bible said on the third day, because he already said how long it was going to take. On the third day, he wasn't sleeping. He was taking care of business in a place you haven't been and haven't heard and seen yet. On the third day, he went into the depth of the kingdom of the damned and took the devil and said, wait a minute, I'm here. You have to give back to me what you stole, what you took from Adam. On the third day, he rose again, just like he said. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Remember, the angel said in that text. We got to remind ourselves, wait a minute. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus was buried for me. And on the third day, Jesus rose again for me. And he was elevated to a position, a seat of authority, higher above every name, every position, every title. He is the King of Kings, and he's the Lord of Lords. But Pastor, what's that got to do? What does that have to do with me? Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 1. We'll throw this on the screen. Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you, if there's any time in our lifetime to be quiet and to be ashamed of the gospel, it would be in the season we live in. I'm not saying it hasn't been worse in history, but I don't remember any time in our lifetime. You've seen so many people be hated because they love Jesus, to be shamed because they want to go to church. And I'm not trying to be political, and that's not my place in the not my interest, but let me tell you, if it was just about COVID-19 and saving lives, why don't they shut down the country every time we have a flu epidemic? Because the last time I looked, we have 40 to 70,000 a year die. Now, I'm just saying, you take it, leave it, and disagree or agree. Don't matter. I love you anyway. And maybe it's all for just the motivation of it. But let me ask you this. Maybe other people are utilizing something that's happening accidentally and using it. But why all of a sudden, what's so much emphasis on the church? Some churches, if they tell people they're having church, they'll get shot at. What's up with that? Some churches say, okay, I'll close the church and we'll just have, is it okay for me to talk like this for a few minutes? Some churches will be like, okay, we'll close the doors, which is unconstitutional, by the way. I don't care what virus is around. Your First Amendment is non-negotiable. Even atheists that understand the Constitution will agree with that. We're saving lives. No, you can't violate the Constitution. The First Amendment's more important. Most of us don't understand that, but some of us do. Some of you who have seen and been through war and have family members go to war who will fight and shed their blood for our freedom understand the importance of maintaining. Don't quote me, Romans 13, follow the law of the land. The greatest law of the land is the Constitution, and under the Constitution, nobody can create a law keeping you from assembling and worshiping your Jesus. I know people try to give me grief over that, but it is what it is. But if it was just about, I've seen churches who say, okay, we'll close the doors. We'll just do a drive-in church. And it's in those areas, and not here, in those areas, police will come and start taking tickets to giving people, oh, you can't symbol even in a car. Well, wait a minute. There's cars in every parking lot of any store that's open. Oh, we won't do that. We'll just do it online. And in one state, I'll not go into detail, in one state, the governor said, oh no, if you could do online church, even though there's nobody in your parking lot and the doors are closed, you can do online church, but you can't sing. Oh, because someone might get sick on the platform by someone singing. And one church, okay, they'll just preach the gospel. And one church who's preaching the gospel, oh, wait a minute. If you are online in church and you say something, even if it's read from the Bible, and if it offends people, then we have a right to shut you down from being online. So wait a minute. When do we wake up and say, wait a minute, that if a desert can be a garden, if a tomb can be a resurrection place, that if all things are possible to whom who believes, when are we going to rise up? Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel 24, they will hate you for your allegiance to me. They will mock you. Oh, they believe that they can pray and the sickness will be eliminated. That's impossible. Not with my Jesus, it's not impossible. I've seen too many people healed by the power of God. I've seen people come out of wheelchairs. I've seen people come out of hospital beds. I've seen people healed by the power of Jesus. Don't tell me it's not possible. It's not you, it's not me, it's Jesus. I am not ashamed. Say, I am not ashamed. Now, I'm saying don't pick a fight. That's not using wisdom. We love people. And we can love people even if they disagree with us. I think the irony is some people out there who, and whatever they want to believe, that's between them and Jesus. But those who don't believe in God, all of a sudden, they didn't want us to pressure them to come to church and not to live in sin. And we were in their face and they were screaming all the time. I'm going too far. I just need to just back up and get back into this. I just think that the mutual respect is gone. All of a sudden, they're like, well, they didn't like us to try to tell them they shouldn't be living the way they should, but now they're trying to tell us that we shouldn't be living. You shouldn't go to church. You shouldn't read the Bible. You shouldn't worship God. Help me, Jesus. For I am not ashamed, back to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is, what is the gospel? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, right? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Now, at first glance, you might think, oh, that's just someone who prays the sinner's prayer and accepts Jesus, and that's part of it. But anytime you see in the New Testament the word saved, or anytime you see in the New Testament the word salvation, that word in the Greek is sozo or soteria. And it is a covenant word. Say covenant word. Say it's a blood covenant word. Because your salvation is blood covenant. You've been purchased. You're redeemed. Not of corruptible things as silver and gold, but the Bible says you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Redeemed means to be purchased, bought back. You have been bought back from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Say, I'm purchased. That's when people say, Jesus is Lord. That means I don't own myself. It's not my life. It belongs to him. He's bought me by the blood of Jesus. By his own blood. And you come out ahead, you come out better. So it is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And the word salvation not only includes the forgiveness of your sins, missing hell, going to heaven, it's the bringing you back into a real relationship with Jesus. It includes healing also. It includes wholeness in your life. The gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So when we believe, we can receive. Mark 11, 24 gives us a little more detail on how we receive. Hebrews 11, verse 33, and Hebrews 6, 12 tells us how key elements to that. Unto salvation to everyone who believes. So back to where I started this morning. So the tension question is, if in the old covenant, if healing is bread for the children, Matthew 15, 26, and the new covenant is on better promises, Hebrews 8, 6, what is better than healing? And we find it in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Are you with me? But Pastor, I need a healing. I know you do. Stay with me. There's something even better than healing. You say, what could be better than healing? I'm still talking about your physical body here. Romans 8, 11. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Wait a minute. What is he talking about? He's talking about resurrection. If the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That's the gospel. It's the gospel. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken. Say quicken. Now that's a King James version or word. That word quicken means to make alive. Notice this, to make alive. He will also make alive your mortal body by his spirit that dwells in you. Quicken, to make alive. Say make alive. Shall make alive. Notice this. What's better? What's better than healing? Having the life of God expressed through your life. That means sickness has no right. And you shouldn't be praying, Lord, just get me to the place of healing. You should say, Lord, I want to access what belongs to me, which means sickness is way behind me. I'm not only healed. Help me, Jesus. Help me say this in a way. Let's move it into a different dynamic. Let's move it into the element of money, since a lot of people deal with money. If you're praying for, I have bills, and Lord, I need you to give me enough money to pay my bills, that's not the level that God wants you to live in. There's another level. What is that another level? That level, and this is not to get on how the process works, but that level is, and we're already past the offering, so I'm not taking up another offering, so just chill out. That level is just the, Lord, help me to pay the bills where I'm at so I break even. That's not covenant. What is better than breaking even? The expression of God's generosity through your life in a way that you just don't feel it, but people see it. Because if it's all about me just feeling it, I'm not there yet. I'm getting there, but I'm not there yet. If it's all about me just talking about it, I might be getting closer, but I'm not there yet. But when people that don't know Jesus can see it, think about it. Because now you not only have enough to meet your needs are so far behind you, met so long ago, that that's not the concern anymore. Your focus is not on how am I going to make rent or pay the utilities this month. That stuff is so taken care of that your primary focus and prayer concern and look is, Lord, show me who to bless today. Who can I impact? Most people think, well, if God blesses you, you won't be praying and, you know, struggling month, week in, week out is keeping me on my knees. You should be on your knees anyway. Not trying to get to the land of even. You should be on your knees anyway praying. Father, I thank you that with you, that you are El Shaddai. You are a God of more than enough. That my cup runs over. Hallelujah. That God will bless me, Genesis 12, 2, and cause me to be a blessing. That you move into a place of God and you with your hearts and God, show me who I can reach today. Show me. You become more kingdom minded. You become more focused on seeing people touched and blessed and fed and healed and ministered to. You're going to be more focused on seeing people's eternity changed. It's a lie of the devil to get you to spend all your prayer time thinking about you. That's elementary. You can go to the high school level. You can go to the university level. You can get to a level that's like, oh, it's not just about me. It's no longer I that lives. And anytime I have a need, my supply comes from heaven. And he will show me what to do. And he will give me the practical directions. In a supernatural way. So when it comes to healing, if our prayers are, Lord, help me not to have any pain today. I'm telling you, you're just trying to get to the land of even. What if you walk to the place of, man, my own health is at such a level. And if you're not there, don't worry. We are all growing in some areas. You could grab any person anywhere out of any group at any church and grab any person randomly. And there's areas of all of our lives that we are growing. It is a walk of faith. Did you hear me? So just because we focus on one area, and if you're in that area, it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're a real person. And we're all growing, but there's hope. Say there's hope. Because the goal shouldn't be, Lord, just get me to the place I used to be before I was sick. Lord, get me to the land of where I used to be. You shouldn't even pray, Lord, I just can't wait till we get back to the way it was before the COVID-19. No, you don't need to go back to the way you was COVID-19. When you come out of this whole process in the name of Jesus, you're going to come out better than you were before COVID-19. Did you hear me? I speak that anointing over your life that God will begin to sharpen your vision, strengthen your skills, and give you creativity. Even Proverbs says that wisdom gives you creative ideas and all of inventions. And all of a sudden, you'll come out when everybody else is trying to get back to what they used to be. You'll come out already ahead in the name of Jesus. So we don't need to pray, Lord, just help me get to the place of even. Lord, get me to the place that not only my health is already taken care of, but I'm impacting the health of other people. How do we do that? 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 See, what did Jesus do? He went about doing good. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed or sick of the devil. He was manifested, the Bible says, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That means when I take a step, I can take some ground. That means every person that gets saved, you're taking kingdom ground. Every person who just experienced healing power, you're taking kingdom ground. Every person who experiences God's supernatural miracle, you're seeing the kingdom of God expand. You're bringing the kingdom, which is the rule of God, the order of God. If the king said it, it's so. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Tell me, what does the Father ever command that the angels pause to negotiate about? Because the moment he says it, it becomes it. It's the expression of God's life. Notice this, our last verse, 2 Corinthians, maybe last verse, I don't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. This God Works translation says, but I thank God who always leads us in victory because of Christ. Say, thank you, Father God, for victory. There's too many scriptures that talk about God wants you to, he just doesn't want you to win. He wants you to dominate. There's an anointing to have dominion, not dominate over the will of other people, not dominate over your neighbor, not dominate over people's choices, but dominate against the enemy. We don't war against flesh and blood, but the Bible says principality, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places. We rule in the realm of God where all of a sudden the enemy thought he had free reign and free right to attack you at will begin to see, wait a minute, they are now awakened. They are alive. They are awakened to who they are in Christ and who the real war is dealing with. And now they have the Matthew 18:18. Whatsoever you bind, Jesus said, on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why? Because you're awakening to the reality that God didn't call you just to receive. He called you to have dominion and share it with other people. But I thank God who always leads us in victory. Because of Christ. Wherever you go, say, wherever I go. Wherever I go. Wherever I go. Say, wherever I go. God uses me to make it clear Listen, I know there's people that are mouthing and hating and they'll get on social and start commenting negatively. The truth is most of them, not all, most of them are hoping you're right. Because they don't understand what's going on in the world. They're living in the same uncertainty, but when it's dark outside, the light shines brighter. Wherever you go, say, wherever I go, God uses me to make it clear what it means to know Christ. Now notice this, it's like a fragrance, it's like an aroma. It's like an aroma that fills the air. That means when you walk into a room, you can change the atmosphere. All of a sudden, people can be fussing, and you just walk in the room. You don't even have to say it. You can say something if the Lord shows you, but you walk into the room, it's going to be like, what? Something's different. That's the dominion that God wants us to walk in. That we're not passive. We're not timid. God's not giving you the spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and sound mind. That you walk in, not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. Isaiah says not that Jesus didn't judge by what he saw or heard. He made judgment based on the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That you come in, not moved by what you feel, hear, or see, but you're moved by the word of God. How are you so calm? Why are you not freaking out like the rest of us? Because you have access to something greater, something deeper. Psalms 1, you're planted in the courts of your God. And you will flourish and produce fruit. And that verse is in your season, but it literally in the Hebrew means in every season. In every season. There's no season where you could tell God, I'm sorry, I'm out of this. You got to wait and come back to me later. No, no, no. When the master calls, the fig tree learned. When the master asks for figs, you better be producing some figs. Because you can, even though it was not in the natural season, even though it was not in the preferred season, when the master speaks, you are producing in any season. It's just not in church. It could be in the grocery store. Oh, Lord, everybody's got masks on and gloves on and 6 feet apart. But if the master says, reach out and talk to somebody and maybe lay your hand on their shoulder and pray for them, then when the master, when Jesus asks you to do something, it's in the season. The season is not based on calendar. The season is not based on convenience. The season is not based on building. The season's based on the direction of God. And you will fill the room with the fragrance of God's goodness. Years ago, there was a guy who came by our office, and this has been many years ago. And he had his own little small business, and he was selling this blue liquid. And it was a cleaning supply. Well, yeah, I mean, I appreciate people being entrepreneurs. But he came back and kept coming. Eventually, we thought, okay, just to get rid of him, we'll buy a couple bottles from him. Just large, just miracle-working stuff, he said. Well, we'll try it out. So we gave him money. And we gave it to the department, the cleaning department. And they came back. They said, this stuff is amazing. Where did you get this? This stuff is some miracle-working stuff. I mean, it got grease off things that you didn't think was possible. You couldn't get it off. It got glue. I mean, excuse me. It got gum, you know, where people drop their gum and they shouldn't be spitting gum in the church. And then someone comes by and starts smashing it for some reason. I have no idea what people do, what they do. But all of a sudden, there'd be gum not only on the carpet. It's smashed in every fiber. And people are trying ice cubes and everything. They pour this stuff on it and it just comes right off. They're like, where did you get this stuff? Don't ask me where we got it from because I don't know the guy's name and haven't seen him in 20 years. But it was some amazing stuff. It was some miracle cleaning solution. No matter how big the mess was, how big the problem was, it took it off with ease. I wish I would have bought the recipe or ingredient from him. Well, let me tell you something today. You have a miracle solution. Don't devalue the word of God in your life. You have a miracle. Say, I have a miracle solution. Regardless of how big, say with me, regardless of how big or how small, it deals with the problem easily. Because let me ask you, what's hard for God? We used to ask people when we pray for them, what's harder for God to heal, someone with a cold or someone with cancer? And the answer is neither. It's all easy. To Jesus, it's all easy. Maybe for you and I, we have, oh, that's going to be a real hard one. But to Jesus, it's all easy. See, I have a miracle solution. Notice this again, and this is the power of the Word of God that most people don't understand. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is quick, and that word quick means alive. Notice the Word of God is quick, which means alive. Say alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Notice this again. Jesus said in John 6:63 that my words, that they are power and they are life. Notice the combination. Notice the combination. My words, they are spirit and they are life. Anytime you see the word talking about the Holy Spirit, there's power there. Jesus told him, you, after the resurrection, stay here until you are endued with power. He didn't say stay here until you get a prayer language. And I'm thankful for the prayer language of speaking in tongues. But he didn't say stay here till you get a prayer language. He said stay here until you are endued with power. And the Holy Spirit came. He is power. The Word of God is powerful. My words, they are spirit, they're powerful, and they are life. The Bible tells us that the Word of God is a sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6:17. And like any sword, there's a sharp point to it. You know what you can do with that sharp point, right? You can stab some people. You can puncture the wall that hinders you from moving forward. See, the sword works. Do not take it lightly. The tip of the sword has a point. If we learn to take out our sword and begin to use it against the obstacles at hand. Going back to this COVID-19, and there's a lot of theories that I was sharing in the back. I wonder in the future if history will ever tell us the true clarity of all the things that really happen and cause us. Or do we just get what people sell as a story to lead us? Who knows? Because there's a lot of stuff that people are adamant that they believe. And when we get to heaven, we'll look back and say, nope, that was never true. Someone made that up to cover up for this. My daughter said, oh, the COVID, they said it came from bat soup in Wuhan. And then I heard someone say, oh, they don't sell bats at that market in Wuhan. Oops. Who knows? Oh, it was a disease. It was a virus that was connected to a laboratory in Wuhan by some guy named Lieberman who was out of Harvard, been arrested. Probably never see him again to find out. We don't always know. We don't know if it's an attack of the enemy. And the spirit of Antichrist, as we move closer and closer to the last days, is it the Antichrist testing the waters or moving into position of authority? We don't know. But what I do know is that God's word is true. And if the devil tells you, oh, it's just a sickness, then you can just respond and say, wait a minute, but 1 Peter 2:24 says that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. If the devil torments you and says, wait a minute, it's a biological weapon and no one knows what to do with it, then you can say, wait a minute, Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. What am I speaking? I'm speaking the word into your life. Isaiah 55:11, it will not return void. I'm going to puncture some holes in the dark shroud of the enemy who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life. Oh, it's the spirit of Antichrist who's trying to take over. Well, Matthew 18:18 says, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, so are you in this world. Do you realize that the Antichrist cannot take full power and position yet? If you study Bible prophecy, he cannot. The Bible says he cannot until the restrainer is removed. Now, different Bible prophecy teachers will take different perspectives. Some say the restrainer is the Holy Spirit. Some say the restrainer is the church. I believe it's the Holy Spirit in the men and women of God that are willing to stand up and exercise their Matthew 18:18. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what I loose on earth is loose. He cannot take his position to do what he wants to do as long as the church of the living God, Church of Jesus Christ, is willing to operate and stand up and fight for who we are and what God's called us to do. Romans 8:37, you are more than a conqueror through him that loves us. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:4, for whosoever or whatsoever is born of God, are you born of God? The Bible says, then you overcome. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, 1 John 5:4. Whatever the enemy throws at you, you have a right to defeat it with the power of dominion, because you're not operating in the covenant of just enough. You operate in the covenant of dominion, that the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. It's the power of God, the word of God, the truth of God in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's what God is doing on the inside and who you are. You might not see it on the natural right now, but you let the image of God be developed on who you are in Christ. You say, but I don't have this. Don't tell me what you don't have, because every miracle in the Bible starts with what you have, not what you don't have. Jesus said, we're going to feed this group of people. So many people that they didn't even count the women and children. What do you have? We don't have anything but a little boy's lunch. That's good enough. We don't start with what we don't have. I start, God says, with what you do have. The widow said to the prophet Samuel, they're coming to take my son's away. My husband's dead. He feared God, and now left me in debt. I need a miracle. What do you have? I don't have anything. You have something. What do you have? I have a little bit of oil. So we don't start with what you don't have. We start with what you do have. And God will take what you do have when you make it available to him and begin to say, Lord, I'm going to stand on the promise of your word. Because what God has given you, if you say, I don't have anything, you could start with the word of God. I have a word from heaven. I have a verse. And watch what God will do it with it. Because resurrection celebration is not something we do once a year. It's something we have on the inside of each and every one of us. Let Jesus, I heard it said years ago, and it stays with me, still true. Let Jesus be Jesus in you today. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you bow your head and close your eyes, and for everybody who's watching by live stream or those who are listening to us in their car, do you know Jesus today? It's a simple question. I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church, denomination, or religion. I'm asking you this one question. Do you know Jesus today in a real and personal way? The way you understand, the way you process, the way you experience, that you know for yourself that he is real and your Lord and Savior. Only you could answer that. But if you don't, I'm here to tell you, Revelation 3 says he's knocking and he wants you to open up. If you open up, give him an opportunity. He can come in, change your life. If you're living with fear, you don't have to live with that. God has something better. He has peace, joy, strength, forgiveness, all available to you today. Pray this prayer with me. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Thank you for saving me. I receive you today as my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Amen. Before we dismiss, we'll have prayer. Let you know we'll have prayer partners down here in the front if you need one-on-one prayer. But if you lift your hand, let me just speak a blessing over you as we like to do at the end of every service. Don't forget, every Tuesday at 12 o'clock, we do an online Bible study and have been doing it for over a year now. Saturdays, we do our community outreach of feeding people. That's available. If you'd like to participate, let us know. Here's the blessing. May the Lord bless you. Comes out of Numbers chapter 6. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. We're proud of you. Have a great day. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.